Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 10 Minutes of Tehillim. We are back learning Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25. I think this is Part 4, Baruch Hashem, and I think also the last section of this chapter, this Perek, as we are coming to a close. I wanted to point out the last part of the Perek is really what we call a chillant, a mixture of psukim, and so we're trying to pick out two important psukim. Of course, they're all important, but two highlighted psukim that capture the last part of the parak. And forgive me for a moment, we're going out of order for a moment, because I want to end this morning's discussion with a pasuk related to the upcoming Yom Noraim, which is earlier than the second pasuk we're going to discuss. So let's go out of order for a moment to discuss two important highlighted psukim. Again, the chapter in general, in totality, is discussing David HaMelech's plead Hashem for forgiveness, assuming it could be the sin with Bathsheba once again, as he highlighted many times over, even so far in the 25 chapters we've discussed, the sin with Bathsheba, not to harp on that again. So let's start with Pasuk Yud Dalet, a very important Pasuk, because Chazal uses Pasuk in a few very important ways. The Pasuk reads as follows. Very common, could be familiar to many of us. Sod Hashem li Reyav uvriso lahodiyam. The secret, the private matters of Hashem is to those who are fearful of Him. And His bris, His covenant, is to inform them. A very generic pasuk. So somehow the pasuk is speaking about that Hashem has some secrets, and He only shares them with those who fear Him, and His bris is to inform them. So what exactly does that mean? So in one place, the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Vayera, has one interpretation, one application of this idea. Amar Yehuda Halevi Bar Shalom Bikesh Moshe Shetehei Af HaMishnah Bechsav. The Medrash Tanchuma says that this passage highlights the idea, what's sod? The sod being spoken about here is the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, as opposed to the Torah, which is Bechsav. Moshe Rabbeinu apparently wanted, at one point, that the Mishnah should also be written down, that Baal Peh should be Bechsav. And Hashem foresaw that eventually the Septuagint, very famous, they would eventually translate the Torah into Greek. And they would say, exclaim, we're also like the Jews. We have a Torah too now. We translated the Torah to Greek. We're just like the Jews. Hashem said, ah. Amar le Akash Baruch Hu, Echtov lecha Rubi Torasi. Then came Kemozar Nechshavu. If I write the entire Torah, Bechsav and Balpeh, everything's written down, then you're like everyone else, he says to us, to B'nai Yisrael. So, HaMishnah Mastosra and Shalosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, the Mishnah is my secret, a secret clue or a secret entity. B'nai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megale Mastosra and Shalon Ela L'tzadikim. And Hashem only wants to reveal the secrets that he has to those who deserve it, as the Pasuk says here in Tehillim, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yedalad, Sod Hashem Li'Reyav, the secret of Hashem is to those who fear Him. And so, in a way, what the Medrash here highlights, this Pasuk is telling us that the reason why they never wrote down the Torah Shebaal Peh, Hashem said because He foresaw everyone's going to have a Bible eventually. They're all going to have access to the written law from Har Sinai. So what's going to separate you, distinguish you, B'nai Yisrael, from the rest of the world? I want to keep the Torah Shebaal Peh just for you, the Reyav, those who fear me, those who are in awe of me, and that's why he kept it from being written down. And even today, you know, the Yisod from Rav Huttner, that I always like to point out, Pacha Yitzchak, Rabbi Simon, Shlita, my Rebbe, always points out to us that even though today we have the Mishnah written down, but we know there are many ways in which you need Girsos, different readings, versions of the Mishnah. And the reason Rav Huttner writes is because maybe even though it had to be written down, because it was bound to be forgotten, the Gemara says there was a fear it would be forgotten because of the different galus, different places that we went to, and the loss of transmission. Nevertheless, they still kept certain things, certain girsos, readings, additions, subtractions, oral, in order to maintain that very unique idea, that bond to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah Shebaal Peh, that is the Mishnah and the oral law. Okay, that's one application of this pasuk. The other application is the Gemara in Sota and Nazir, other places as well, talks about an idea. The context in Sota actually is about Ben Asai, not really important the context for now. It talks about he waiting on a machlokes in terms of seclusion of a man and a woman, and what the shear, the amount of time it should be, that it should be considered seclusion. But the Gemara points out that Ben Azai, according to many opinions, was never married. And how would he know, therefore, what the shear would be? How could he weigh in? And the Gemara gives a few answers. One of the answers is, based on our pasuk, so Hashem li'reyav, that the secret of Hashem is to those who fear him, as if to say that Ben Azai, although he wasn't married, wouldn't have known otherwise. Nevertheless, because he was a God-fearing Jew and a Talmid Chacham, Hashem gave him the wisdom, almost Ruach HaKodesh. And, you know, the Maharat Chios and other Achronim weigh in, and they say, we don't usually pass in Halakha based on based on things from Ruach HaKodesh. You know, Lo Bashamayin Hi, we're told by the Torah as interpreted by Chazal, and so what does that mean? And so they kind of expressed the idea that, in a way, maybe just a Ruach HaKodesh is used to support what somebody already knows. So if somebody heard something from their Rebbe, and there's no Hachra, there's no decision which opinion to follow, then maybe Ruach HaKodesh can support one of the opinions. That's how some explain it, and that's what the Gemara means to apply this process. It doesn't mean that we decide how to act or how to practice in halacha in the world of Torah and mitzvos based on Ruach HaKodesh, based on Sfirat Hashem li'reyav. Nevertheless, it can be used as a support. But it does give us an insight into the fact that Talmidei Chachamim do have an insight that others do not, and that's why many do seek their Eitzah, certainly in the Hasidic world and other worlds, and it's important to seek Eitzah from those who are steeped in Torah, who are Talmidei Chachamim, who are Torah scholars, because they do have an insight that without knowledge in Torah, many of us would not. That is the backwards first pasuk for today. I want to end this morning with a discussion about a different pasuk earlier in this parak, because it really is relevant to our upcoming Yomim Noraim. It's in pasuk Yud Aleph, parak Chavhei pasuk Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, Chavhei Yud Aleph. Leman Shimcha Hashem. That should sound familiar to all of us. We say it during Slichos, we say it during Yom Noraim, for your name Hashem. And you should forgive La'avoni, my sin. Why? Ki Ravhu. Because it is great. Okay? So again, probably referring to the sin with Bathsheba. That's the pshat in this pasuk. That's the pshat in the parak, of course, we discussed many times over. This is tefillah of David to ask Hashem for forgiveness. Why should Hashem forgive him? So Rashi says, because although my sin is great, right, ki ravu, right, you should forgive because you're also rav, meaning you're also great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can bear the burden because you are so great, even though my sin is great. So great can cancel great, in a way, according to Rashi. That's how Rashi explains pshat of this pasuk, a famous pasuk in Slichos. Nevertheless, I want to share an insight to end this morning from the Tolos Yaakov Yosef, or Yaakov Yosef of Polonia, who was one of the first and famous students of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. Really a beautiful insight into what David HaMelech could be expressing here in this pasuk, and it's a kedai insight to know going into the Yom HaNoraim. Slichos, as we discuss, as we'll see them many times over the next couple of next few weeks. So Tolos Yaakov Yosef says that maybe, perhaps, the pasuk is telling us as follows. Maybe David HaMelech says that when somebody sins as an individual, as a person on their own, that might be, if the sin is great enough, hard to forgive. But what if somebody sins because they represent the klal, they have a matara, they have a goal to accomplish something for the klal? As we know, this produced Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, was produced from this relationship, and maybe David HaMelech had an insight into what he was trying to do in order to build the future of Bnei Yisrael. And he did so. He decided to marry Bathsheba, although it was viewed as a sin, and maybe he was punished for it and had to ask for forgiveness. He did so not for his own personal gain, perhaps, as the Gemara seems to indicate, but rather for the gain of the future of Bnei Yisrael, representing the klal, as a leader of a people. And so the Tolos Yaakov Yosef says something amazing. He says that, David HaMelech says, V'shalach l'avoni ki ravu, because it wasn't just my avon, ki ravu, it was the sin of the rabbim, of the plural, of the many, meaning I represent all Am Yisrael. I was acting maybe in their best interest or thinking about the bigger picture, the future. Because my sin is absorbed in the cloud, that's why you should forgive it. What an incredible insight, Kiravu, that the Tolos Nachum Yosef says here, perhaps from Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe, beautiful insight. But I think it also is a nice way to conclude as we approach this weekend, the Chodesh Elul, and talk about slichos, and talk about forgiveness, the idea that when somebody makes a mistake, but it's really representative of the klal, it's because they think of themselves as part of the greater community, the greater Am Yisrael, or they're a manhig, they're a leader. And if their sins are because they're trying to do the best thing for their community, for their shul, for their school, as a leader of Am Yisrael, that sin takes on a different kind of perspective. Because then, that, as the piece here beautifully expresses, that sin could be absorbed by the klal. And that's the expression. So maybe, perhaps, just to give a little bit of thought, which is that as we approach Yom Ha'aron, we think about ways we can contribute to the greater klal, to our communities, to our shuls, to our schools, to Am Yisrael as a whole. And if we make mistakes along the way, whether personally or communally, we can honestly say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiravu, forgive me, not because I deserve forgiveness, perhaps, but because I did so in the stress or the distress of trying to do the best thing for my community, for my for Klal Yisrael, and that should be absorbed by the greater Klal. That's a very nice insight into our slichos coming up. Wishing all of you a wonderful and meaningful day. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we will continue with Perek Chavav, God willing, next week.